the Station of the Stars. RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Red, Boys and Girls. And if you haven't listened to part one, I'm sorry, I've got a bad throat this week. We are in Poprad at the base of the Tatry Mountains. That's where I live, and my name's Eric Wiltshire. Over in the UK, it's Lee Banks, and in Gay Paris, it is none other than Mark Gander, one of the founders of the Consumer Action Group.
Yeah.
Our sideways look at... What do you say yeah for?
I've just noticed this. I'm so sorry.
He's just like a hippie, isn't he? He's just like an aging hippie. He's just going, yeah.
Yeah, man.
I've just noticed this piece about Cliff going on for another 20 years.
He probably will do, actually. We've got Cliff for another 20. Oh. No, I have to be careful, otherwise my sister will kill me. She's quite a Cliff Richard fan.
Oh, yeah. Right. Can anybody be a Cliff Richard fan?
I have no idea.
He is like, he's just like, I don't know what he's like. He's not even like a human being.
Well, we have one here who I've had, shall we say, a contretemps with, a sort of Cliff Richard but not famous person. Well, he's famous in Slovakia but nowhere else. So, well, sorry, the Czech Republic and Slovakia. And I'm not even going to give him a name check because that'll annoy him. and he's very much like Cliff and just sort of thinks he can go on forever. But in actual fact, he should be like Phil Collins and say, okay, I've got to this age, I'm going to stop.
Turn into a monkey.
No, and go and do normal stuff.
Phil Collins is a weirdo.
He's not.
He is. He's a very strange man.
Why?
Well, because he just is.
Well.
Well, he can't
sing.
That's
the reason. That's good enough.
He can't sing. He cannot sing.
I can dance. I can't sing.
Oh my God.
He can't play drums.
Oh.
He can't dance. What about Cliff? Cliff Richard looked like he's permanently on a skateboard, and every so often it flicks out to either side like that. And
let's be honest, fellas. The only reason we abuse Cliff Richard is he's 70 years old.
Yeah.
He's still got a six-pack stomach where ours is dropping. And
six-pack stomach like that paparazzi bloke has. He's got a plastic one.
And Cliff, apart from the sort of like little wrinkly bits which he hasn't ironed recently,
well,
doesn't look at all 70. We're just jealous of him.
He doesn't. No, he maybe doesn't look 70, but what he looks like is a grandmother.
Huh?
He doesn't look like a man.
He hasn't got boobies.
He looks like a big girl.
He hasn't got boobies.
Oh, that's it. That actually is.
Yes, but Nora's Lee's grandmother.
You get to his end and you don't have man boobs.
Oh, I don't know.
There's something weird about you.
Anyway, the story is he's also fighting for copyright over his material, isn't he?
And I think this is absolute. Why should your art become public property at any stage in your life or death?
Don't know.
Why these copyright laws then?
Well, let's reverse it.
Now?
When somebody goes to work,
yeah,
they go in the office, do their work, they get paid for it, finito.
Yeah.
If they do it again, they don't get paid twice.
Yeah. Say you build yourself a cupboard in your house, and Eric has a beautiful apartment in the centre of Poprad, and say you went in and you put a gorgeous cupboard, because you're a very practical man, in there, and then after 50 years, somebody came along and says, right, we're having that cupboard now.
And?
Well, would you be pleased?
I wouldn't know, I'd be dead.
Yes, but say you'd done it when you were four, right? Say you built it when you were four.
Blimey,
and you're still alive. You wouldn't want them to take your cupboard away, so why can they take your music away?
Well, I'd have hoped that after 50 years they would have taken me cupboard away, because it'd be horrible.
No, it'd be becoming an antique like you.
Huh?
It would be becoming an antique like you.
Huh?
Not saying it again.
Huh? No, I don't care. No, all right, you know, let him keep getting his pennies for some holiday or something.
Yeah, I wish he'd fall off one.
Yeah. Anyway, moving along to Diana Washington.
Her bum weighs as much as a baby panda.
What?
Not really? The rest of her. Not the rest of her. Just her BTM. It weighs as much as a baby panda. She's 5'3" across from one side of her bottom to the other, and it weighs 23 stone.
My God.
It's just amazing. What, just the bottom? Well,
just
she
her
does.
Bottom weighs 20.
How can they know? I mean, has she unscrewed it and weighed it separately? I mean, how on earth can she know this?
Have you never tried to weigh different parts of your body separately? I have.
No.
It's quite easy because he's sales.
Yeah. But Mark, he was pretending to drive a Ford Mustang 7.5 litre car at the time and pretended to have a plane in his backyard at the same time he was weighing bits of his anatomy.
Yeah. Well, that's plain speaking, isn't it? No, you can do it. If you want to find out how much your leg weighs, you just put your leg on the scales by itself. The rest of it is on the scales. So you can weigh.
My father had an artificial leg and he could do that, but I'm not sure that if you don't have an artificial leg that you can do that very easily.
Put your head on the scales by itself. No other bit of your body, and you'll know how much your head weighs.
I'm sure, Mark, to
Can I go off and have a cup of tea while it's on the scales?
No, Mark, I hate to agree with him, but with modern technology, they probably have got a bit of software-driven scales that will do that.
Right. Sorry, in other words, shut up.
No, I hate to agree with him, Mark. I'm sorry.
How you put your bottom on the scales and have it completely independent of the rest of you.
Well, if you were a mathematician like I am, you could actually work out by girth, size, and distance from back to rear and stuff like that. You could work out how much it weighs mathematically. I'm a mathematician.
All of this
genius.
Beggars belief, and I say beggars, incidentally.
Yeah, yes, right.
Careful. The only time Lee's worked it out with a pencil was when he was constipated.
Oh, no, that is terrible.
Why?
Because that's as bad as a George Osborne joke, that.
It's not. You had to write down
the George Osborne joke.
You had to write down what you needed from the chemist on a list, go there, and you fix the problem.
No. Anyway, this girl, believe it or not, and she's not that young, she's 35, which is actually a reversal of the 5'3" that her backside is across from one side to the other. She's earning
exactly how many stones she weighs altogether as well. I mean, 35 is quite extraordinary.
It is.
I know. It is, yeah, 35 stone. So her backside... I can't say the A word, can I?
No.
She only weighs 12...
You can say it in French. Arrière.
Derrière.
But your arrière is simply backside.
No, I'm doing it in Irish. Derrière. All right? Yeah. Right? 35 stone, take 22, 23 stone off it. The rest of her only weighs 12 stone.
Blimey. Blimey. And apparently she makes a fortune.
90 grand a year she's making. Oh,
no,
having
no,
a
she makes 35 what? Grand a year, isn't it?
No, 90.
All right, okay.
90 grand a year. Oh, well.
Out of a big bum.
But anyway, listen, the important thing is that she seems to be very happy with it.
She's going to kill me for that now. Can you bleep that bit?
No.
Thank you. So kill me.
And? Oh, I'll bring some Slovak into the equation. Hacho.
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 Hacho. That's because you got a cold, isn't it?
No.
But this is becoming awful because she says everything she eats goes to her bottom. Well,
that's
what's
right,
unusual?
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
so unusual about that?
Well, for these, you might as well stick it up your... 9,000 calories a day she has.
I think she should talk to Lee and figure out how to work it out with a pencil.
No, that's that cheap one.
Anyway, pack up a penguin.
While you've been away, Eric.
Yes.
We've been following this story about Happy Feet, the little penguin that got lost and ended up in.
He was a very big penguin.
Can you talk louder, Lee? You're quiet.
I was being sympathetic and kind.
Oh, I see. That was
shouting.
You were acting, were you?
I was being gentle. Look, a little Happy Feet. Do you remember Charlie Chaplin doing the Happy Feet song? I've got Happy Feet. And then his little bread roll started to dance on the
Hang
train.
On. He did silent movies. How would he sing?
Oh, I don't know.
You ain't heard nothing yet, folks.
It was just a passing thought. I thought I'd share with you, like your beef burgers in the sea.
Anyway, look, it seems that this penguin's gone going on his way back to New Zealand instead of heading away from it, and he's going back to see the rugby, of course, isn't he? Next week, when he's let he's well again, then he'll go home.
There was some link there, and I can't figure it out.
No, well, the story is dead.
Rugby. Are you a rugby fan, then?
There's a very important rugby tournament going on in New Zealand starting today.
That's right, just talk across me, I don't mind.
So are you a rugby fan, then?
Well, I'm trying to present the news.
Mark, are you a rugby fan, then?
Only when it involves the French, and I like to see the French get thrashed, and I don't care who does it.
Herbert.
I was going to say, you can go to any club and see that, can't you?
I like that too.
Yeah. So this penguin got lost.
This penguin got lost, right? Nobody knew how it did it, but it got lost by 2,000 miles and ended up eating sand because he thought it was snow in New Zealand. So it had to have an operation to empty of it all. This sand, I'd have just kept turning it upside down on its head and then back on its feet again and used it for boiling eggs and things like that. But, and then they had to, they got a ship, they got their own little ship to take this penguin back to Antarctica we've been doing this story for 2 weeks, Eric. This proves that you don't listen to the show. And to take it back with a vet. It had its own little private doctor on the boat going back to Antarctica. Ah. So they launched the penguin in Antarctica. and they...
You know those things you go, vroom, vroom, vroom.
Yeah, that's going to say, what do you do? Pull the cord first?
Yeah, that's why it goes... It's only a six-stroke engine. Anyway, the stupid bird has got lost again, and he's heading back to New Zealand.
He's going to see the game.
No, he's going to see the vet, Lisa.
Oh, maybe
right,
that too.
Yeah. Is penguin game?
Is what?
What?
Nothing. Carry on. And you can put this drunken elk in. I know this.
Apparently a homeowner in southern Sweden got a shock when he found a drunken elk stuck in his neighbour's apple tree. Per Johansson, Per Johansson from Sarrow near Gothenburg found the elk making a roaring noise in the garden next door. And apparently this drunken elk had been eating fermenting apples.
That's what they do, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd never heard of this before.
And it was drunk out of its skull. It had been vomiting there all night, and amazingly, I mean, even though it had only been eating apples, there were diced carrots and tomato skins all around it. Just amazing. Whatever you eat, there's always diced carrots and tomato skins.
Right.
The same for the elk.
Right.
Well, I think that's, but if you get to the core of this story, right, it happens to elks all the time. Every morning, virtually, in Sweden, you wake up and you find a drunken elk in your capel tree, hanging there, laughing at you, smiling.
In your capel tree?
In your capel tree, yeah. That's in Sweden. They don't have apples, they have capels, and you get married and become a couple and things like that.
No, fermenting apple trees would be fapples.
That's right, fermenting apple trees. Imagine eating an old apple tree. I'm going to try, instead of drinking beer tonight, I'm just going to eat fermenting apples.
You said you'd stop drinking.
I did, I do. I don't really drink. It's just every now and again I have a drink because to celebrate the fact I've not been drinking.
Uh-huh.
I end up with hangover.
So you end up just climbing up apple trees and eating the apples.
That's
while
what I'm
going
to do, Mark. Yeah. I reckon it's healthy for you.
Wait, you know can what? I say a limerick?
Go on.
Well, it's in Ireland.
There was an old... There was an old woman from Ryde who ate green apples and died, but the apples fermented inside the lamented and made cider inside her inside. There we are. And incidentally, on the business of elks, there was another story which is remarkably similar. I think there was a man who's just been found not guilty in Sweden of murdering his wife because they finally decided that the wife was probably murdered by a drunken elk. How's that?
Sad.
So what that's a coincidence. Amazing.
And a lot of our American friends will know this is absolutely true because it is a brand. And I have to say this very slowly.
Oh, no, you're going to say that word, aren't those words that... Oh, well, go on then.
And the brand name of cider in America is Dickens Cider. Dickens Cider. I'm not saying it fast.
Right,
I'll leave that to the rest of you.
We have a tumbleweed moment. I'm pleased to say it's not mine. Mark had one last week as well, you know.
Did he really? That's my job.
Tumbleweed moment. That's it. I gave him a tumbleweed moment.
Well, that's my job.
Well, you weren't there, you...
Oh, yeah,
knob.
That's right. Pardon?
Pardon? What's up, dear?
You said a naughty word.
Which? Okay. What naughty word did I say?
You said cider.
Yeah.
Insider.
A Nepal Airlines Boeing 757.
I've just got the Dickens thing.
Oh, God. has been ground on.
Oh, heck, he's having a cough.
I'm sorry, boys. I'm poorly. Go on.
You sound vulnerably masculine. You sound like John Wayne in a dress.
Right. I'm sure there's another tumbleweed moment there. A Nepal Airlines Boeing 757 has been grounded at Hong Kong's airport after a mouse has been seen in the cockpit.
It had got a hat on and was flying the plane.
How the heck does a mouse get in a Boeing 757? And equally, mice eat wires.
Yeah,
they do.
They're frightening.
Yeah. So yeah. What did they do? Just sort of go away for a couple of days and get the rat trap man in?
I suppose they must do.
They probably need an aeroplane catch, don't they, really?
I'd fly upside down and try and knock it out.
Yes.
With passengers in there.
Great idea. Yeah, but they'd all be wearing seatbelts. They'd be all right. It'd only be the mice.
Yeah, the mice. What if they showed it where the exits were? Get off me plane.
Apparently the 133 passengers on board the Bangkok bound flight were evacuated because the mouse was seen in a box of drinks.
Ooh, so it was a drunken mouse. It should have been in the tree with the elk.
Yeah, it was lucky it wasn't an elk.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, look out for the rant. The Banks is about to rant.
Oh, my God.
Am I not?
The Banks is about to rant because publicised this week in numerous places, Tony Blair, you know him that was Prime Minister that I did meet once in Bratislava.
Before the one-eyed Undertaker.
Yes. And some of my Slovak journalistic friends were aghast when I called him Tony. They didn't.
Really?
They didn't. Oh, no. Oh, very proper it was back then here. But I called him Tony. And it was like...
What's his name?
Well, exactly.
Right. Did he call you Mr. Wiltshire?
He did.
Good. Proper respect. Isn't
it? Yeah, actually, right. because none of them are there now. Can you picture the scene? You've got the Prime Minister of Slovakia, and you've got the Prime Minister of England. I think Tony was on his little excursion around pretending he was going to be the next president or something.
You know what, Mark? He only put this in so he could talk about himself.
So what happens was they've got really snobby groups like Sky News, CNN and The Times there. And because I'm the token Englishman out here, I got a chance to ask a question. So I starts off the introduction and goes, my name's Eric Wiltshire, I'm RTI, blah, 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 blah. I tell the whole story. At which point, I've never...
Tony went to sleep.
Tony Blair looked at the people from the British Embassy with absolute daggers. Because he's going, uh-oh, English expat radio station, where I am now. Nobody's told me about it. Oh, my God. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he didn't look very happy. But he kept smiling.
Yeah,
he did keep smiling. Anyway, enough of that. Former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair apparently is godfather, watch your eardrums, to one of Rupert Murdoch's young children. It has emerged.
Now, well, I think that's amazing, don't you? That to be honest, I don't have a great deal to say about this, but isn't it funny that Rupert Murdoch has been that close to our government for so long that actually one of the leaders of our government years ago became godfather to one of his daughters? I think
well,
he's,
well,
I
apparently,
see, do we think this is wrong? Do we actually think this is a bad thing that Tony Blair should know?
I don't.
Do we think it's a good thing?
Yeah, why not?
Well, why are we doing the story then?
Well, because the point is, the when this comes out, which apparently is going to be in Vogue magazine.
That's right, Vogue. I used to sing a Vogue, yeah.
Okay, Madge. so when this comes out, I can see it now. Everyone's going to jump on the bandwagon and do exactly like you did and go, oh, our politicians are too close, blah, 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 blah. But when was Tony Blair last a politician?
Well, he's he was a politician when this happened, I would have thought so, wouldn't it? How old's this, daughter?
Nine
years old.
Yeah.
That's 9 years ago he was a politician then.
He was a politician 9 years ago.
I suppose he was really, wasn't he?
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to say this is not a bad thing. I mean, he's entitled to a social life and he's entitled to friends, but I do think that the fact that this kind of thing comes out now and is damaging, you know, is very nasty. And I think that nobody should stomp him being a...
Why is it nasty?
Well, because I think it just makes everything uncomfortable. I think it brings, once again, the government in disrepute. And I think that if it really, you know, is so sort of squeaky clean, and why shouldn't it be, then maybe people should have known about it 9 years ago so it doesn't become a news piece now. And I think that's the errors of judgment.
Why shouldn't it become a news piece now? This is an integral part of our history and something that has been... Amazing. All right, I'm putting me to tabloid.
Yes, but part of it is that, you know, it sheds new light on Mr. Blair's ties, and that's all the sensational stuff, and that maybe, you know, the implication is that it was hidden before, and they were trying to sort of hide the relationship between government and Rupert Murdoch. Really, if it was all out in the open right at the beginning, it would be much cleaner, much more transparent, and cause less problems.
And that is why it's a story, because it wasn't out 9 years at the time. And with my tabloid news editor's head on, I would say, actually, yes, from the fact where I was talking to Eric before and saying, that is it a story or isn't it a story? I would say, yes, this is a story. I would work this up on the fact that Tony Blair is too close to people who... Look, it's also... Tony Blair's reputation is not the best political reputation in the world, even though some inexplicably he's become a peace envoy after taking us all to war all over the place. He's now become a tier. But also, he is now being... Well, he's consorting with somebody whose reputation is also bad, right, at the moment, over what's been going on. Now, this is where newspapers and news programs should highlight these things and say, this is what's going on. 9 years after the event, 10 years after things went, we went to war and everything, we're still uncovering the duplicity of our politicians.
You see, when you take the last bit of this story, well, not the entire story, but the bit that we're reading from, the nine-year-old was baptised with her younger sister, Chloe, on the banks of the River Jordan, at the spot...
I didn't know she had a river.
Stop it. At the spot Jesus is said to have undergone the same ceremony, that's what Vogue's saying. Now, just correct me if I'm wrong here.
Go on, then.
The UK is, apart from the fact that it's all messed up... has for donkey's years been a Christian country. And I believe that if you go there, no disrespects to Muslims, you do your own thing in your own house, no worries. But in essence, the UK is a Christian country, and that's what it is. And by actually going with those same values, Tony Blair was actually doing the right thing, because everybody's been saying, you know, there's no family values, there's no this, there's no that, there's no the other. Surely by... being a godparent, helping somebody get baptised on the River Jordan, no less, is actually quite a good thing.
Yes, but as a politician, you have to be careful about your liaisons and the sort of thing you do. Just remember Sherry Booth, you know, Mr. Blair's missus, right, who was involved in a deal with a known criminal over some property. Now, really, yes, actually, this bloke had paid his debt to society. He did have a bad reputation for things that he'd done in the past. Tony Blair and his missus should not have been dealing with him. Just as, under these circumstances, when governments are so close to the press anyway, and that's what's been, you know, being always been known, that Tony Blair should not have allied himself so closely to this particular man.
Which reminds me, of course, Simon Cowell's up in arms this week, talking to people that have paid their dues, with the young man that went to prison, has been on the new Simon Cowell show in the UK called Red and Black.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
And has won himself £1 million. And now everybody's up in arms that this guy has won £1 million because he's a criminal. But hold on a minute. He's already paid his dues. That's all over. He's done the thing properly. So nobody should be out of mind about it, surely.
I think you're right on that. But I think it's if you're trying to make an illusion between the two, I think it's totally different.
An illusion's magic.
Right, that's it. I'm going now. That's it. I'm walking off the air now.
You're going to walk off the air. You're sitting on your backside. How can you walk sitting on your backside?
Girl, just ask that woman with the 23 stone. No, really. I know. I'm just trying to say. No, that's an illusion. And illusion's a different thing. Anyway, so you are trying to make some sort of connection between Tony Blair and Rupert Murdoch and this bloke who... won this money. I agree with you. He should have been left. He should keep his money. And he's paid his debt to society and he's won some money. Good on him.
Yeah, okay. Twitter says it's got 100 million active users.
I'm still that Stephen Fry's not me mate.
I knew that was coming. He is so predictable. Predictable.
How many times have I put it there and he keeps blanking me? Yeah.
Is he trying to tell you something, do you think?
Do you know he's got a nose like that rugby player?
The one who's going to get it straightened up?
Yeah, I bet Stephen Fry doesn't get it straight.
Ouch. Apparently, Twitter's got somewhere around 200 million registered users, and whilst Facebook's got 750 million registered users. And it's interesting. I suppose because of where I worked in the past, I'm the least likely bloke to phone up an agony aunt on the radio.
Yeah.
And say, I've got a problem with my marital status. And equally, I don't quite understand why people go, I've just been to the toilet in 140 keystrokes on my phone.
I know, I think it's bizarre, honestly.
It is bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't get it.
I had a croissant for breakfast. So what?
Yeah.
No, I didn't mean I'd had a croissant.
Oh, right, okay.
I was going to ask you, were you in Paris to have a croissant?
Oh, my word. But do watch out, because what will be happening with Twitter, there are plans to allow adverts on its service known as promoted tweets, which worries me a lot because it's back to the old scenario. Pay lots of money, and just the same with every other thing. You see a big advert in a newspaper, you take notice of it. You see a big advert on Twitter, you take notice of it. It doesn't mean to say it's the best thing to do on the planet.
Yeah. Does this mean that people who've got Twitter accounts are suddenly going to find tweets sort of added in, inserted into their...
That I am not sure of at the moment, mate. Not sure of that at the moment.
No.
Have you noticed the chief executive's name?
Go on.
Well, it's Dick Costello.
Oh, ha, 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 ha.
No, you child. That's another childish joke. That deserved a tumbleweed.
I've been away for 2 weeks. I've got them all stored up.
Just because I said the word dick, as in somebody's name, you had to make it into something cheap and nasty.
Maybe, but I haven't been here for 2 weeks.
No, you're right, and we've all missed you.
And I've had to store them all up.
Yes.
Oh, right.
You know, and people have been saying, get rid of Eric, he's old now, put him in a home, Petra.
No,
they did. I've seen it on Facebook. Factually, Mark, get rid of Eric because Petra's nicer.
No, I didn't say she was nicer.
Yeah, but...
Nobody said she was nicer.
But...
They just said she's an... No, I can't say that.
That's nice.
I think what we should do, actually, in these final seconds, Mark and I should apologise for coming on conglomerately at Petra last week. It was shameful and disgusting.
I'm sure she'll enjoy that next week. That was Postcard from Pop Rap, boys and girls. We'll see you again very, very soon. Thanks for your company. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us via our Facebook page, which is called Radio, or via your local station. See you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.